Dr. Judy, thank you very much. I'll get my face off the screen here, and if you wanted to just maybe do a quick introduction and tell us more about what your book's about, and thanks for being on the show.
Sure. Well, it's exactly perfect timing, perfect God's timing, because the book published today, it actually landed on people's doorsteps today. It's been in press for a while now, but it's called Plague of Corruption, and it literally predicts COVID-19 being the plague of corruption that your last guest just mentioned with respect to, you know, fudging the numbers. And what's really interesting about it is he mentioned somebody goes and they collapse their lung and then they're dead. You know, they're treating a, you know, coronavirus, which is, you know, basically it's an RNA virus that, you know, basically causes an upper respiratory infection. You know, this one, SARS-CoV-2, is a little bit, is theoretically less pathogenic than the original SARS. And the predictions in the beginning was this, you know, flu-like disease would be essentially mild, except in the immune compromised, you know, the very old, and those with pre-existing conditions like diabetes, heart disease, or things like that. So a little bit about myself. Yeah, so I my first degree is chemistry and natural products. So I actually made the first immune therapy that went into humans to cure a leukemia called hairy cell leukemia, and that was interferon alpha. Well, significantly enough, interferon alpha is probably your most important therapy, very low dose for coronaviruses, for lots of viruses, for your immune response to stop the infection, to stop the virus from replicating. So I went on from that job to work with Dr. Frank Rossetti, who discovered the first human disease-causing retroviruses in 1980. And I worked for him in 1983 there at the National Cancer Institute, which is at Fort Detrick, Frederick, Maryland, as you mentioned, is on the same campus in the same place as the U.S. Army Research Institute in Infectious Disease. So my PhD changed the paradigm for treating HIV and literally changed everything. As you know, right now, people can have HIV and not die of AIDS. And that's because similar to what's happening with COVID-19, because of a plague of corruption in our government, in our NIH, in our CDC, they're not treating the right thing. You know, they're anybody who dares say, you know, that's not what that is, or mentions that it might have been less a manipulated virus, a virus that was accelerated in its evolution, and they call them gain of functions, that actually has HIV envelope sequences in some of the strains, which means instead of just infecting a subset of cells, you know, they're in the lungs and the epithelial cells in the airways, now it has the ability to infect white blood cells, the critical cells of your immune system. And those are the clinical data that people are starting to say, this doesn't look like a coronavirus, and people don't die of that. And by the way, the hemoglobin and the iron in the form of ferritin is ending up in the blood, and that can happen through 5G and 60 gigahertz, literally releasing the iron from the hemoglobin and ferritin in the blood will contribute to a cytokine storm. And it's actually your own overactive, dysregulated immune system, the loss of the interferon, that type 1 interferon function, because the the inflammatory function drives, you know, and is out of control. So it's not that there's not an infectious coronavirus, but this coronavirus together with a retrovirus that we isolated from people with chronic fatigue syndrome, with various kinds of cancers, leukemias, lymphoma, you know, a lot of diseases, including things like COPD, these mouse viruses, you know, appear to have entered the human virome by way of vaccines, by way of the polio vaccine, by way of, you know, MMR. And so the most vulnerable are the ones who have defects in their type 1 interferon pathways and in whom they have susceptibilities to not be able to control the inflammation. The word flame is right in the middle of inflammation, and that's the disease, the virus. And so this is, you know, the early, we, most of our work in the last few weeks being told it was a coronavirus, then looking at it and seeing, no, that coronaviruses don't do that. They don't cause coagulopathies, blood diseases, thromboplatelet disorders, clotting disorders. They don't cause that. And certainly the XMR and, you know, the retroviruses do. And so since viruses and microbes rarely travel alone, they need to dysregulate different arms of the immune system, because the immune system says, ah, that's just a coronavirus. Here, let's send out some type 1 interferon. And we got this under control. But as your last guest said, this doesn't look anything like that. And last week on the High Wire show, Adele Bigtree talked to an emergency room doc, and he's like, we shouldn't be intubating these people. Their lungs are working fine. They're just desaturated. Their oxygen, it's called air hunger. And the patients with diagnoses of chronic Lyme disease or chronic fatigue syndrome, myalgic encephalomyelitis, you know, inflammation of the brain and muscles, spinal cord, these patients will know what I mean by air hunger. You know, they literally can't get oxygen, can't breathe. So the plague of corruption, it's like, wait a minute, as the today is April 1st to see this, you know, this book literally walks through what I learned from the time our first book, Plague, which describes the isolation and discovery of the XMRVs, the mouse viruses that had jumped species, most certainly coming from a contaminated blood supply. How did HIV AIDS spread around? HIV spread around the world in the country. Oh well, Tony Fauci, number one, and Bob Gallo delayed the publications of our paper, our laboratory's team's paper, and then in order that Bob Gallo and his crony friend get credit for it, and then delayed serology tests looking at antibodies, who's been exposed, where in the world has the virus been, and how long has it been there? Because the latencies, the dormancies, can be years in a healthy individual before, you know, basically in your immune system all hell breaks loose and you have, you know, zero T cells, no adaptive immunity, and no memory. And so then you get everything. You get every kind of opportunistic infection. So I send your audiences to the movie, the the band played on. I believe it was 1993 with Alan Alda, and you'll find it on Netflix. And then another movie called The Dallas Buyers Club just a few years ago. And it tells how the government, you know, refused the healing, relatively non-toxic therapies like peptide T, which Dr. Rossetti's team had also developed along with Candace Pert. And that's how you modulate the monocyte macrophage in such a way to calm dim the fire. And now we appreciate that the dysregulation of the endocannabinoid system, so cannabis can also be healing. And at the level of the stem cells, at the level of the blood stem cell, and we had put this, so the book walks through. It starts really in August of 2014, the first time I met Brian Hooker. That's when we knew we had to write. It was August 31st, 2014. Plague was in press, so we couldn't do much about it. It was already at the print. And then Brian Hooker showed up, and his notebook said, he was showing a page from the notebook of William Thompson, who, after dogging William Thompson for a decade and a half with FOIAs, with Freedom of Information Act, he finally got him to confess that the studies of MMR, not causing autism in susceptible children, infants, in those with some kind of immune compromise or just not being simply old enough. But that those data were covered up, and in much the same way, in 2011, the government, the CDC, and Tony Fauci, when it was realized that the most likely way, mouse cancer-causing viruses, which were contagious. Now, I can spread cancer. I can spread Lou Gehrig's disease. I can spread literally cough on you or sharing drinking glasses, thinking about what we're doing, right now. A retrovirus, a virus that can cause AIDS, a virus that can cause cancer, a virus that can do to the immune system what, and we demonstrated all of this, cause those clotting disorders. It's called ITP, idiopathic thrombocytopenia. And here's XMRV in 30% of the people with that disease. And what does the MMR package insert say, but in rare cases, of course, it's not rare at all, you can get ITP, a fatal bleeding disorder, from an MMR shot. And so in 2011, of course, they shut me down, jailed me and all of this stuff, and said I stole my own notebooks. So the minute I saw Brian Hooker's showing a page from William Thompson's notebook, and it said, what are we going to do about the problems with the blacks? Because they were disproportionately injured and killed by the MMR vaccine. And here we associated, we finally understood Andy Wakefield's data as to that non-specific inflammation called eosinophilia, another part of the innate immune response that says you don't have a defense against virus. You're heavily shifted towards Th2, towards other kinds of parasites, other kinds of worms and things like that. So this is, interestingly enough, right now, all the websites are saying, oh, we'll use anti-malarial drugs, hydroxychloroquine. Well, that's a parasite drug. So why does it work? Well, now we know why it works, because it's not a coronavirus. They're covering up XMRV. So they exploded the whole world, and the whole world was involved in it. So you really do want to read Plague of Corruption, because it looks like it's a very quick read, and it really does look like I'm a biblical prophetess, if you will, because we predicted this very event. And so they hit the detonate button. Now you call anyone who goes to the hospital coughing or with a fever, and now we're going to pull sick people out of their homes. What are they doing? They're rounding up the, it was at least 25 million Americans in 2011 when the big persecution, because we would not renounce the data or cover the data up, and not a single study since. While the government took the sequences out of the database, the government slammed the testing, wouldn't let anybody do anything, said XMRV was all a hoax, and we took care of that bad Judy Mikovits and put her in jail and ruined her career and took all her fundings and kicked she and Rossetti out of research forever. Yeah, and they failed to kill us. They tried that too, and probably try again. But at any rate, that's what the book's about. And I think every single day more data shows me that SARS-CoV-2 does not equal COVID-19. SARS-CoV-2 plus XMRVs, mouse retroviruses, put into people by forced vaccines for at least 30 years of heavily contaminated and dirty vaccines. And the group in Italy proved it as well. So the flu vaccines will have retroviruses. The polio vaccines will have retroviruses. The polio or mouse, there's some bird ones in the flu. So here your government is saying, get the flu shot, get the flu shot. Oh yeah, and that will kill you very quickly, especially if you have an underlying XMRV infection that we've been able to successfully treat with natural products, and just as we were, and type 1 interferon, just as we were, and cannabis, medical cannabis for HIV/AIDS. So the mechanisms and the signature, I mean, we published a paper in 2011, which I'll post for your audience on our website, plaguethebook.com. That paper is the signature of XMRV associated disease, because we know a lot of people are asymptomatic. They don't get the cytokine storm. So what else can cause the symptoms? Well, glutathione deficiencies driven by Roundup. So the work of Stephanie Seneff, and of course, James Grunvig and Sherry Tenpenny's work on 5G, causing that iron to separate from hemoglobin and literally end up as the throwing gasoline on a fire, because then the fire trucks, which is inflammation, that cytokine signature is exactly as we published in 2011 for XMRVs. And it's very highly similar to the signature of infection of Ebola. So this is like a signature, a fingerprint or a footprint to track a criminal. And different viruses have different patterns of how they elicit disease by hurting your immune system so that they can survive, so that they can replicate and establish reservoirs. So it's I mean, the last couple of days since we talked the last time, this realization wasn't even on my, radar screen. I couldn't imagine that the whole world would get together and say, hey, you know what? This book proves a four-decade-long plague of corruption directed by Tony Fauci since 1984. So he's the one that, since 1984, standing right next to every president saying, we're not going to prevent you from the next plague or the next pandemic, unless you take away all liability from manufacturers because vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And Ronald Reagan signed that 1986 act, that, vaccine program that said, hey, You know, there was a compensation program recognizing people would get hurt, but we're taking away all liability from manufacturers. So since that time, the mandates increase, and where you used to get 8 shots before, you know, in 1986, and I got 2 shots when I was 5 years old, smallpox and the polio on the sugar cube. And now you've got, which did cause disease and did spread disease. It's called zoonosis, as we said last week. But the zoonosis is being caused by a contaminated blood supply and vaccines. So the pandemics are being caused by them, you know, swine flu, bird flu, Zika, Ebola, MERS, SARS in 2000, and now SARS-CoV-2, and they're calling it COVID-19. No, you cannot call a disease. You cannot say that pathogen caused that disease unless every person with the pathogen has the disease, and we know that's not true. That means there are cofactors. They're, yeah, Roundup, glyphosate, 5G, and that pesky little 25 million people and counting infected with red cancer causing contagious. Get your head around contagious cancer, contagious Lou Gehrig's disease. Think about that. We hold bucket challenges. And every family has someone. When I joined the National Cancer Institute in 1980, right out of University of Virginia, and worked there for 21 years, leading the lab of antiviral drug mechanisms from 1999 to 2001, before going to pharmaceutical companies to develop diagnostics and treatments based on how these viruses cause disease. So here you go. That's the book. And this, if everybody reads it and everybody sends it to everybody, send it to Mr. Trump and say, end the lockdowns now, close the CDC, close the FDA. Just like in HIV, they're keeping us from getting the drugs that cost $5. We don't need a vaccine if we have a bunch of people walking around immune. We certainly don't want to wear masks. That's not how that, you know, I'm healthy, even though the lab workers were infected. I seroconverted. That means I made an antibody to XMRV in 2010. And that was the big realization that these were contagious, because I'm working in double gloves and masks, and I get infected, meaning you have to be breathing it in. They go right through the masks. The only thing the mask does is make you sick. It won't prevent your neighbor. We shouldn't be developing hate and not touching anybody. Remember when nobody would touch an AIDS patient, you know, how horrific these deaths are. And we have people walking down the street angry.
Dr. Judy,
yeah.
You talked about the mask just now. Now I wanted to, yep. I want to come back to the mask. But I made a note, and it kind of was about just the idea of how with your experience, we're doing research and in these laboratories and your study for the book. Now, the direct question I just want to ask you: why would governments or military units or whatever you want to call them, why would they have such interest in viruses and diseases? Now, the surface would be maybe to protect people, or maybe to develop some sort of warfare. But what do you think the true reason is? Just looking at history and having been away from it and in the middle of it, why do you think the government has an interest in studying so much about these viruses and diseases?
Well, bio warfare has always been, you know, a really good way to kill a lot of people and not, let's just say, not destroy the land or the you know, so releasing a gas, releasing an agent that kills a lot of people. It's a stealth kind of thing. And so you don't detonate the infection until you know, you're far away. And that's what's happened with COVID-19. So it's, oh, this new coronavirus. Oh, and it's like, wait a minute, coronaviruses are nothing. They don't do that. And but once you make the connection, they do when you detonate the 5G. They do when you've reached a level of glyphosate and a Roundup destroying your glutathione. So this has been going on for 30 years. And in fact, before Fort Detrick was made the National Cancer Institute by then President Richard Nixon, I think it was something like 71 or I don't know, it's in there. It was biowarfare. That's what my laboratories, and you'll see in the book, there's an inset of pictures showing our laboratories. So where for many, many, many years, we have tried to, I read a fascinating book, which I couldn't read all the way through, by a doctor called Lee and me, Lee Harvey Oswald, and a woman, another Dr. Judy. And her job as a chemist was to develop, cancer-causing viruses to kill Castro. Bio warfare is not new, and I'll give you a really horrific story, which I've been saying is in 2014, that Ebola that killed 21,000 Liberians, that came from Fort Detrick. It wasn't the normal Zaire strain. It acquired the ability to infect different cells and spread through the air. And Ebola, we were all told that the Ebola, that's what we know about Ebola viruses. No. They're not contagious. You don't cough them. And what the CDC did was say, when it became obvious, so I'll have your listeners read a book called Called for Life. And that was the Christian doctor. And we know these Christian missionaries who went over there. So Christian missionaries are going to places thinking they're doing good and helping people. And the vaccines are, in fact, killing them. And they're, in fact, spreading, these weapons of destruction, and what were the Liberians in 2014? Well, they were sitting on diamonds and oil. And this is, and Tony Fauci stood next to Obama and he flew back Dr. Brantley to the CDC and everybody was watching it. Oh, would he be cured? Well, the doctor, John Fankhauser, at that unit in the field, cured him with good old fashioned medicine. What did he do? He hydrated him. A lot of this injury with COVID-19 looks like radiation poisoning. And so what he did was he gave them antimalarial drugs. Oh, what are we talking about right now? Hydroxychloroquine. Oh, he gave them that to prevent him from getting another infection. And then he gave him saline and probably things like IV vitamin C. He gave him fluids and then just let a strong young man, recover. He got sick. He recovered. He developed an antibody. But that was another attempt to, create a pandemic. Obama stood there and gave everybody a lot of money. So you can look at one man standing next to every president in 9-1-1, all of a sudden anthrax went through the mail. It's convenient, and they blamed a doctor, Bruce Irvins, and they suicided him, they killed him. And this doctor didn't do anything at all. He didn't put anything in the mail to release the anthrax from Fort Detrick. No, the government did it. And they blame, the scientists. Or if the scientists refuse the threats to take away their whole life or suicide them if they can escape. And this is the book tells the story. And it's a true story. In the very first chapter after Bobby Kennedy's foreword, which everybody should just read Bobby Kennedy's foreword in the last chapter, and you'll understand exactly what I'm saying. Because what was this Ebola outbreak? Oh, it occurred right as William Thompson confessed, and thousands of pages of documents said the vaccine program covered up the fact that MMR could cause autism. So there you are. And that was August of 14. So when's the little Ebola outbreak in Liberia? It's pure evil. You know, that's why they do it. You don't destroy the land. Think of what mm-hmm. Agent Orange did. Think of what the atomic bombs did to Japan. People can't live there. Well, you take the people off and you live there and you reap the benefits.
Yeah, and plus there's a deniability factor too, where you can act like it wasn't that. It's hard to trace. So everybody, yeah. We're talking with Dr. Judy Mikovits. I'm saying that right now. We were saying Mikovits, but Mikovits.
It's in Austria where half my family is, so it's okay with me.
Yeah, I put that little accent on it. So yeah. We're talking with her. She's the author of The Plague of, is it just Plague of Corruption? You can find that along with Plague the Book on Amazon. I know you can buy the hard copy paperback of Plague at Amazon, but right now it's only seems to be available electronically with the Kindle on yeah. Amazon. But if you go to...
So you can still get the Kindle on Amazon. The hard copy sold out.
Oh, okay.
Of it going. So you can get it from Walmart, Barnes and Nobles, and I'm sure IndieBound, IndieBound, IndieBound. So Dr. Lori tells me. So yeah, you can still get it. And if any of your readers, can't find the hard copy and want to pre-order it for the next shipment, I'm sure it'll come in. We'll talk to Skyhorse, the publishers, and get them to get those shipments in.
So we can order at plaguethebookalso.com.
No, I don't think we have a link on the website because okay. we don't sell it. Skyhorse, the publishers, do.
But that's your website there, plaguethebook.com. Being able to read these things and look at them as you lay them out is probably going to give you a greater understanding, because you're rattling off terms that I couldn't even take notes on because they're words I never heard of. So, but one of the things that everybody's seeing. Oh, there you go.
This is the first book. So what we tell everybody, the first book is much more scientific, because I had no idea this wasn't a scientific argument. This is a plague of corruption. So the second book you can read in a couple hours. It's about half this thickness, and it doesn't have those scientific terms. So what we tell everybody is to read Plague of Corruption first, and then get this one, which is available also on audio, and it was really well done. And just read chapter 5 and the foreword by Hillary Johnson, and you'll understand everything I'm saying. You don't need to follow the science. We had to write it scientifically because they've never said one word about it. Tony Fauci can't deny it. A lot of this book is just references. We got their emails. We've got everything. We got them, and we think that's why they hit the detonate button with coronavirus, is to kill. So you said it quite well a minute ago. What they're doing in the hospitals, everything is COVID-19. No burials, no autopsies, no did the virus really kill them, did they die with the virus or from the virus, none of that is being done. We're just throwing the victims, just as they did in Ebola in 2014. You just burn them all, throw them in mass graves, take them away, and when they all go away, then they say, oh, you're a liar. There was no such thing as XMRV. And this happened and we know this happened in the early days of HIV. Everybody was dying because it was mycoplasma, it was mold, there were a lot of other co-infections and environmental things. So the people here that get this nothing coronavirus infection, this mild flu, those harboring the retroviruses will be dead in short order, especially if they should be so unfortunate as to have a lot of glyphosate and Roundup and not know, how to treat these, because these people have been considered crazy for 30 years. And this isn't the first time the government's gone after them. They did it all the way back in the 80s with HIV. It was very clear. It wasn't just black men, and it looks like in the 80s, both XMRV and HIV, the people that had both are the people who died in the first round with the horrific AIDS. of the decade of the 90s, but while the government just sort of perpetrated bad drugs and kept everybody from getting those horribly toxic things, which aren't horribly toxic at all if you use them correctly. And I think you'll see, or you might recall, that they said, you know, even Science, the journal. So the journals are part of the plague of corruptions. In fact, they drive it. It's propaganda masquerading as science in our country in 2020.
So there's confusion in people's understanding where you mentioned if somebody's wearing a mask, that they're recycling their own exhaust, right? So they're breathing in their own exhaust, right? But you know, how can somebody reinfect themselves? How can they make themselves sick by wearing a mask?
Yeah. So number one, the very first thing is what you said. I don't see it as defeat. I see it as control.
Mm-hmm.
So people are fearful. Or people are not fearful, and they've been forced to by the government, which tells you who's in control, or we're going to arrest you, or we're going to give you $1,000 fine or whatever. So number one, that's stressful. And stress is a horrible suppressor of immune function. Being under stress, being under this situation, being controlled, you know what, there's no public health reason for this mask for a coronavirus. Healthy people aren't coughing. You know, yes, if you're sick and you cough, you're not going to cough, you know, 6 feet. And you know, this is influenza. Of course, you can catch MMR, you hold chicken pox parties, you share food, but I worked with HIV and Ebola, and only with Ebola did I wear a mask. And so I worked with HIV for 21 years in a biosafety level 3 facility and never once wore a mask. And I'm working with the blood. I isolated it only once, you know, or maybe twice from saliva, because healthy people don't have retroviruses in their saliva, even if they're infected with HIV. It's in a tissue reservoir. So when they do, so there's no public health reason for the mask, just like there's no, and if, so for instance, I have the retroviruses, I have the XMRVs, that's chapter 8 in our first book. Oh my God, the lab workers are getting infected. You know what they said? Not, let's change everything. We can't afford to retrofit every mouse facility and every mouse laboratory to be HIV, biosafety level 3. So what they wrote was, oh, unintended spread of a biosafety level 2 agent. No, I think a contagious cancer-causing human retrovirus should be biosafety level 3. But you don't need a mask in biosafety level 3. And I think you'll remember, and you can even see it on the TV commercials now, that you know, you've got this PrEP commercial for pre-exposure prophylaxis. You can take a drug, and if you're HIV positive, it will stay dormant. It will stay asleep. A dormant retrovirus is not expressed. And pulling sequences out of your nasal passages and out of scraping the epithelial cells in your throat and getting a little bit on that swab, seeing RNA, that's not a virus. A virus has a package. A virus has an envelope. That's not a virus. It's not infectious and transmissible. RNA does not infect someone. If it injects you, if they inject you with RNA, you can cause disease. That's what they're finding with the vaccines. Why would you inject a pathogen directly in your blood supply when you have a God-given immune system, your skin? If your nasal passages aren't all dried out and you don't have water droplets, there's nowhere for the virus to live. It does not live in the air. It does not blow in the breeze. Think of this. You know, all of these flu things. Every year you get something. Yeah, got a little something. Got exposed to something. You know, home a week, had a little diarrhea, maybe cough, flu-like symptoms, fever, gone. And you've got an immunity to that. You know, this is God. This is your God-given immune system. And the mask, so it has no public health benefit. You're not preventing anyone from getting infected. And yet, you know, it's not impermeable. So you're still getting things. Oh, and if you've got that plastic mask on over your face, you're sweating, you're causing stress, you're activating your dormant viruses of all kinds, which take out the immune system, which suppress the immune system. And you're literally driving your own disease. You know, it's from within. It's not from without.
What I'm discovering throughout this whole exploration with this COVID-19 thing is I'm learning a little bit more about these viruses and about our immune system than I was taught. You know, we're taught right. a certain type of thing. And we also learn, if you like, history isn't exactly as it was portrayed. I think we've been learning some things about viruses differently in the last couple of weeks. And one of those things is that once you catch something like chickenpox, or if you have some kind of a certain strain of the flu, that once you experience it, your body then has this immunity to it. And this is the philosophy behind vaccinations, is that you're exposed to Correct. Amounts of this, and then once you're immune to it, then you're pretty much like you're Teflon. Like, it's never going to touch you again. Is that?
Yeah. Case of measles, and I wouldn't say never, and I wouldn't say Teflon. So I'll give you a couple of good examples that your audience will appreciate. So measles and chickenpox. So we had measles parties. I had measles when I was 5 years old. That was pretty sick. You know, I couldn't be in the light. It caused a lot of light sensitivity, and I was really down for a while. But I developed a fabulous immune response, and I've probably been exposed to measles many times over. And I'm Teflon to measles. It doesn't bother. And now we learned that a childhood measles infection offers protection against breast cancer and some ovarian cancers. Interesting. And so nobody in my family has cancer, never have, because we had good strong immune system. So the second one is chickenpox. So I won't say Teflon, because what we know is that the virus then lives, it goes into its dormancy in the nerve cells, in certain kinds of nerve cells. Every virus kind of has a lock and a key of which cells they can enter and which cells they can't. And this is part of the plague of corruption surrounding COVID-19. Coronaviruses can't get in those immune cells. And so anyway, shingles, you know, you get over it. Chickenpox, you get over it. You have the pox, you're sick for a little while. We have chickenpox parties. And then some people will get shingles when they're, my grandmother got it in like her 90s, you know, and she had diphtheria, she had everything. She had a fabulously strong immune system, but she got shingles in her 90s. And so what we're seeing, and you'll see that in both books, is all of a sudden when we were looking at these patients, we see little girls going into the doctor, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, and they got shingles. And it's like, what is shingles? You know, and I called up Dr. Rossetti and said, Frank, they got shingles. He said, oh, don't be ridiculous. They'd be AIDS patients. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. A little retrovirus here or there. And that turned out to be true. And so shingles now is in it. It's in the foreword of Plague of Corruption. In Bobby Kennedy's beautiful foreword, he talks about the corruption around the shingles vaccine. And we know they don't produce memory. They don't produce adaptive responses. So you have to get the flu shot year, theoretically, because they don't produce adaptive responses. But you actually don't have to get the flu shot every year, as you said, because if you've ever had the flu or you've ever had a flu shot, you've got as much protection as you're going to get, and it won't kill you. The goal of your immune system is to prevent a pathogen from killing you, to develop an immune response, the antibodies. So that is the big message for the audience is everybody go outside, take off your masks. They can't arrest us all. Mm-hmm. They can arrest me as I walk around in my masquerade. I've got a beautiful little mask like the Lone Rangers with nice feathers from I bought in New Orleans a few years ago. And, you know, this is a masquerade. This is ridiculous.
Now, we know that vaccines are dirty, right? They're using metals. They're using dead cells of animals and aborted fetus cells. And they're and some other things, the metals and the mercury. And there's some other elements that formaldehyde and those types of things, which you don't want in your system. But
nope.
Are they effective for people to
No.
we know that people are like that's actually shedding, they can shed the virus or they can shed the illness. So they're introducing these sicknesses into society where there weren't before.
And that's absolutely, and that's exactly where the coronavirus came from. The vaccines. You're 36 more percent more likely if you got a flu shot to get the coronavirus
Now,
this year, this strain.
I've got this here. I'm gonna show it to you here, since. Can you see this? Do I got the camera? Huh? Where'd it go? Oh, I gotta flip the camera. Let's
Yeah.
flip it around. Okay, can you see this right here?
Yep.
Okay, so Paul picked this book up somewhere, and it is a medical journal here. It is a America Medical Association Encyclopedia of Medicine. I don't know if you got it here on this camera here, Paul. Is that better? You don't have this camera. There you go. And so it was published in 1989. That's the copyright. And
Right.
so he's got a page here that we can open to. I don't know. He probably can't zoom in. Oh, is that you have the photo there? So what it says here when you turn to it's an encyclopedia, so it's alphabetical. When you get to the V section, you turn to viruses, and it has the family of viruses. The papillomaviruses, which are warts, papilloviruses, you know, the
HPV.
herpes viruses, cold sores, pox viruses, which are your smallpox and cowpoxes.
Right.
And then you get down to coronavirus, and it says that the coronaviruses are common cold.
That's correct.
Now,
And every animal has them.
so common cold is just your body's response. It's going to be something that your body automatically produces as a way to clean itself.
Yeah.
And so when you get a cold, you're going to get a runny nose to flush out the
Sure.
things that are.
You cough out the pathogen and your immune system responds by making antibodies. And notice we never have been able to make a vaccine for the common cold. We've never been able to make a vaccine for HIV. None of the vaccines work. We think of what we just said. 12-year-olds are getting shingles. That's because the chickenpox vaccine doesn't produce lifelong immunity like a natural infection.
Okay, so so I've got the common cold, and now I'm coughing, and okay, let's just take a little further. I've got the flu, and now I'm coughing, and so how, so what happens is, I've got a family, and I've got kids, and my wife, it starts with her, and then she kind of, she starts feeling crummy, and then the next one feels crummy, and the next thing you know, it goes through the whole house, and sometimes we're quarantining ourselves with the sick in this room, and then stay away from them here in this room. But
Right.
invariably, it's gonna spread. So how is it
Correct.
spreading? What is being shed? So my body's like I got something from somebody, and which that's what
Yeah.
everybody perceives as the virus. Like you got the virus, and I've got it now. It's like I picked it up, like a bad habit or something, and then I just spread it around to everybody, and then we work through, and now we all have the immunity to it. But our body went through this sick response, and
Correct.
in that sick response, then I'm like off gassing, I'm shedding it, and coughing it, and licking things, and touching things, and not, so. That's where everybody's kind of caught up in this whole thing is everybody's many people have a fear of that the world's now full of this germ, right? Because it's like they see it as just a germ.
But it's, and that's what's wrong with germ theory. It's proven wrong. I mean, as far as, it's the immune response. It's the immune system that you need. And so healthy people, we don't wear a mask to develop our immunity. And in fact, we're prolonging the disease by keeping everybody inside, preventing them from going out. What possible reason could you have to not go on the beach? Or go surfing. Who is that guy? They took a guy off a bodyboard here and arrested him or gave him a ticket or whatever for being on the beach. You can't walk on the beach. How do you ground yourself? How do you give your immune system a boost? How do you get if you can't go out and walk except for the hours? They told people in Paris you could only go out from 7 to 10 in the morning. We can't get any sunshine. So the measures they put on have nothing to do with public health and everything to do with making you sick and controlling you and forcing everybody to say, I want the vaccine. No, you don't want the vaccine. if you get the vaccine, not only will you still get sick and maybe die, but you will spread that further throughout the world. And it is my thesis that this is vaccine driven. Dr. Suzanne Humphries, in her fabulous book, Dissolving Illusions, shows that all of the worst outbreaks of smallpox were the vaccines, were vaccine programs. So I just told you there was a vaccine program associated with the Ebola outbreak, because when you vaccinate, not only do you carry all that animal tissue with all of their little pathogens, but your immune response just flames up. There's too much garbage in those shots, and they're crippling. There isn't one vaccine that has ever produced a lasting memory immunity like I have to measles and to chickenpox. And that's the whole point. The vaccines don't work, and they cause the pandemics, they cause the epidemics, they cause the evolution, the accelerated evolution of new viruses. So we're creating these things in the manufacture and development. And there's a nice simple picture in the middle of Plague that shows how mouse viruses got into humans. And now are causing cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, autoimmune disease, all the things that we've learned in our mouse research. Well, the biggest thing we learned is you can't cripple a mouse system, or you'll wake up sleeping giants, and you'll cause them to go into humans when you mix animal and mouse tissue. Fetal tissue from, aborted fetuses in these vaccines, that's somebody else's DNA. And proteins. You'll make autoimmune responses to that. So that's where all the autoimmunity comes from.
We'll go to the next question. And so this is one of those things that has been a challenge currently, for some people to swallow this pill. And this is the debate of how viruses don't exist. Now that's, some people will say, hey, there are people out there saying viruses don't exist. Now,
that's
is that a
where
bad
we get? Well, yeah, viruses exist. They're not living. They're called, I think we talked about this
right.
a lot on the last, they're obligate parasites. Mm-hmm. They need a cell to grow in. They need human hosts to grow in. They can't replicate their own genetic material. So, so probably we don't want to go back. When you start saying that, it makes it more difficult, to get at a plague of corruption by the government and the hoodwinking and the lies surrounding, vaccines. I'd prefer to stick to like God-given immunity and biblical rules of healthy food and not GMO and these kinds of things. And all the vaccines today are GMO, by the way. They're genetically modified organisms. So at any rate, I think it's more important for your audience. And this is what, and I have to go in a few minutes because the sun is setting and I have to do another show and
okay.
get home. But I was just going to say, this is what I hope would come out of this current COVID-19 situation, but it's going to take the faithful to say, you won't close our churches. You won't close our beaches. You won't keep us from God's nature. You won't keep us from God. God is love. How can you show love if you can't touch each other and everybody's wearing a mask and you're afraid of each other, or you're angry thinking somebody, oh, you're not wearing a mask, Dr. Mikovits. You're making me sick. You're putting me at risk. Healthy people don't spread disease. And if you're sick and you're not staying at home, then that's on you, because that's not godly behavior either. As you said, get well. Stay home, good God-given food, lemons, food, real healthy food, not processed garbage, in a microwave. So there's a lot we can do. And I'm hoping that the 2 or 3 weeks, however long it is, I want this to end tomorrow. I want everybody to write Trump and say, let everybody go out in the streets. This has nothing to do with public health. It has to do control and the removal of our constitutional freedoms and the destruction of our republic, our nation under God. We're no longer under God. We're under the rule of pure Satan, because that's what Satan, all he has to do to win is separate us from the love of God. I don't see any love here.
Right.
Let's go out there and say, no, thank you. We will not bow down to your big pharma. You won't test me. You won't inject me. And that's, but until we all do it, until we all take to the streets and say no more and throw the masks in a pile and burn them, then we're good.
Yeah. And that's going to take that's going to be a big heroic act. I'd love to see something like that happen. I don't know. But what we can do in defiance is to live healthy, right? So but even
I'm out there.
Yeah.
I'm out there every day. Come walk in the street with me. Right. I'll tell you where I live. Let's all get on the beach. They can't take us all off the beach.
Well,
you know?
We just want to remind everybody about your book, that today is the day that your book is widely available. That's Plague of Corruption. And then you also have your first book, which is just called Plague, One Scientist's Intrepid Search for the Truth About Human Retroviruses and Chronic Fatigue. There it is right there. So it's just called Plague. And you can find those on Amazon if you wanted to order that. It's available. And so we just want to thank you again, Dr. Judy, for coming in and spending some time with us and sharing with us what you've discovered. And we encourage everybody to get the book. And I don't know if Paul's going to have it on his site, but he would love to make that available. He'll probably have to talk to your publisher about that. So
my horse. Yeah. And then let's all get out on the street and get in the beach and go back to church, and we'll be fine.
All right. Well, God bless you. And I hope you have a great rest of your evening. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thank you. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks. All right. That was great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an awesome interview.
I imagine that book's like this.